I'm curious what you think about this idea of the third way and trying to find kind of a compromise way of regulation, but trying not to be heavy-handed. I mean, do you think they've got a shot at making it work?
Well, it's a very creative approach. And what they're doing Jenikowski's definitely trying to strike some sort of a balance that's not going to irritate industry. And, you know, the problem with it is I just don't see anything in there about, you know, public interest. It's very much about, maintaining flow of commerce, which is, you know, what the FCC has become. They're not a public interest, looking out for the public interest anymore. They're looking at not making waves. So, you know, he said that he tasked his lawyers with coming up with a way to return to the status quo. Now, the status quo was an unregulated internet. What they had was a policy statement that was unenforceable, as we found out in the Comcast decision.
Right.
The reality is the internet has not been regulated since 2002. So since the Supreme Court, or since the FCC decided that basically that broadband was not a telephone service and therefore could not be regulated as such.
Right.
So ever since then, you know, anybody who's operated under any sort of illusion that there was any kind of government oversight of the internet has been operating in a dreamland. And, you know, what happened and what changed was this court case really hammered home that, you know, that Kevin Martin and the FCC, and as it was composed in those days, had tried to enforce a broadband discrimination rule that was unenforceable.
Right.
So everyone was acting under the illusion that there was some sort of principle of non-discrimination in place when, in fact, it never existed. And anybody who really knew anything about the law and about the FCC rules knew that it never really existed and knew that it was never going to stand a court challenge. So, you know, he felt pressure to be forced into action to do something. And then you had this sort of unusual debate going on where some people wanted to take the internet, the broadband service, and go back to 2002 and basically undo what the FCC did then.
Right.
And make it, you know, and make it regulatable under Title 1 or Title 2. You know, it was Title 2, but you know that kind of stuff just confuses a hell out of people. The issue was that, you know, to put it very simply, was that, you know, to really have a competitive marketplace in broadband, we were going to have the people who own the networks make them available to competitors.
Right.
And that was the idea, and that's what happens in Europe, and that's what happens in, you know, other, in Asia. And that was the idea of the old common carrier regime, whereas
right.
if you're a telephone company, you have to let everyone use your lines, and it's the law. So what happened in 2002 was that the FCC essentially decided that no, a cable modem and a cable line is private property, and they don't have to make it available to anyone.
Right.
So, you know, so what's going to take the place of that? Well, it's going to be competition. The broadband market is going to be so competitive, and people are going to be plowing so much money into it that we're not going to have any problems with service.
Right.
And what happened was this perversion, where when Jenikowski says things like, you know, this is going to spur investment,
mm-hmm.
it's like, you've got to be kidding me. There's only five players in the whole market. And if you're in a city that has two competing, you're lucky.
Right.
So I think what's happened with all of this concentration on the let's just make sure that we don't roil the waters
right.
is that we've completely lost track of the fact that broadband is too expensive, it's not competitive, and that the idea of basically they call it unbundling these networks was, at least initially, where the public interest groups were headed. They wanted Jenikowski to do this admittedly radical shift, but, you know, he had the votes. He could have gone back and done this and truly created a competitive broadband market, but he didn't do that. He did this very weird sort of legal gymnastics where what they did was they took pieces of the Title II regulation and applied it to broadband transmission, not content transmission.
Right.
So they considered the transmission to be a communication service and therefore regulatable, but they didn't. They only picked certain sections of the law, and
right.
then through this other ridiculous process called forbearance, ignored the rest of the law when
right.
it comes to broadband. So it was a work of legal gymnastics and genius.
And so does that mean it has a harder chance of actually standing up in court because it's kind of such a strange way of doing it?
It's tough to say. You know, I mean, I didn't think that they had a chance on the Comcast case because, I mean, you didn't have to be a lawyer to know that they were really grasping at straws on this one.
Right.
This one, on that one, this one seems to at least stem from a sound legal strategy that might work. I mean, and it also, you know, it fills this void. I'll tell you who the real villains in this whole thing has been Congress. You know, we have this absolutely ridiculously outdated communications law, and the last time they took a run at it was back in 2007 when Ted Stevens was mocked for making the comment about the tubes and the truck and all of that.
Right.
And then they just quit. They gave up on it, and they actually quit over the network neutrality issue.
Right.
And they gave up. You know, meanwhile, you've got a court case that comes down, and then all of this pressure that hits the FCC because the headlines are saying the internet is unregulated. You know, they're very alarming, and it's like, you know, they should say, now we realize the internet is unregulated. It was never regulated. So they had to do something because it's like everybody woke up and discovered that there was no protection.
Right.
And, you know, this was what Jenikowski wanted to do, which was create some level of protection, which was not really a status quo, but a perceived status quo that we were protected from discrimination. And the operative sections here, not to get technical, but the language here is pretty straightforward. There's this guy, Austin Schlick, who's the FCC's general counsel. He also argued for the FCC in the Comcast case.
Right.
He says, these fundamental provisions collectively forbid unreasonable denials of service and other unjust or unreasonable practices and allow the commission to enforce the prohibition. Now, if that's true, because it's paraphrased, then that they are creating an underlying, they're creating an actual rule that forbids discrimination, internet discrimination, whereas before, in the Comcast decision, all they had was a policy statement, which had no, which was not binding. It was just kind of a nice idea that they
right, like a principle or
there.
Something.
Yeah.
So now the telecoms have kind of responded to this pretty in a hostile way. I mean, you're kind of saying, well, these rules aren't all that strict, and it seems much more kind of status quo, but if that's the case, why are they kind of attacking it so much and kind of threatening that they don't think it's really legal what they're doing?
Well, that's a great question, and I compare them to the NRA. If any kind of infringement or perceived infringement or creeping regulatory action is going to be opposed, no matter what it is. they're not going to, you know, if you read Jankowski's comments in the legal explanation, you know, they said that this was agreed to by industry. But
right.
AT&T and Verizon and Comcast are never going to sign their name to any kind of action by the FCC that increases regulation in any way.
Right.
And they are going to fight it, and they will sue, and they rattle their sabers all the time. They are loaded with cash and loaded with lawyers who used to work at the FCC, and they don't lose very often. So, you know, the FCC, that's one of the reasons why the FCC released this very lengthy document explaining their legal reasoning behind it, because they know they're going to get sued. So, you know, what's the actual impact on the industry? You know, in my mind, it's negligible. There's no price regulation. They're not going to tell them how much to charge. They still allow them to manage their networks as long as they don't do it, you know, in an abusive fashion.
Right.
There's no unbundling, meaning that they don't have to open up their networks to other competitors. These are the key things that the public interest community wanted in the beginning, and what I've been really surprised by is they seem to be satisfied with this.
Yeah.
It doesn't really do anything. But it's benign. And, and the strategy of the industry is to – you can't really tell what they think. Maybe you can find out in private.
Right.
You're not going to be able to tell by their statements, because it is their policy to sue over anything that looks like regulation.
Right.
And that's what they'll do.
I noticed that Comcast did, out of all the reactions, they actually said something to the effect of they didn't like it, but they said something like, we are willing to look at this third way, like we're willing to actually think about it or consider it. It seems like they were like softer than the others for some reason.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I read some of the statements. The first, if you want to get really cynical, the first statements that came out were from the tech community, you know, i.e., Google.
Right.
And they liked it.
Yeah.
So you could say that Jankowski, in the end of the day, succeeded politically, and that he satisfied his and his boss's, i.e., the president's political constituency.
Right.
They're, you know, Barack Obama co-sponsored a net neutrality bill
right.
in the Senate. On the network side, though, you know, it gets more interesting in terms of, how they react.
Yeah.
And maybe there is something to the way that, you know, Comcast is a cable company and it's different. Cable's different than DSL, and it's all very different than wireless, although wireless is not actually part of this. It's being regulated in a different way.
Right.
Again, in a different way. So, and it's also corporate culture, you know.
Yeah.
Comcast is also in an odd position in terms of the way the industry is shifting, where everything's shifting to the Internet. They're simultaneously the country's largest broadband provider and the country's largest cable provider, and they're in the process of trying to merge with, you know, a television network. So
right.
I'm not going to come out and say that the chairman of the FCC is an idiot when I've just submitted a petition seeking his approval for transfer of NBC TV licenses so that I can complete my merger. So I would
right. There might be more at play, and plus they were just in this court case with the FCC over something directly, and they, even before that court case, they were kind of, you know, they were upbraided by the FCC, and they had to apologize for all the stuff they were doing by, you know, changing the speeds of their network and all that, and they kind of had to come out and say, we won't do that, and it was wrong, and so it seems like they are trying to change at least their kind of public image over these issues in some way.
Well, they you know, don't be fooled. They play hardball just like the rest of these guys. And I think that they were really caught in flagrante, whether it was an enforceable infraction or not. You know, what they were
right.
doing really was unconscionable. It was sneaky as hell. They were sending out basically sabotage packets through their network that shut off uploads, So the guy, so there was this guy who was uploading barbershop music, and his uploads would just shut off.
Right.
He didn't know why. And it just so happens that he was a software engineer or a network engineer, and he started noticing a pattern. So he sent out his own stealth packet and discovered that they were sending out these, you know, these little sabotage packets, information packets, and they weren't telling anybody about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, not only are we shutting off your uploads, we're also not telling you that we're doing it. So there's no way in the world that that's reasonable network management. That's stealth and sneakiness. So, you know, they knew that they were not going to win the public relations argument. And I was actually covering this stuff on a daily basis for the AP in those days. And what they very quickly came out and said, sorry, we're not doing it that way anymore. We're not going to, you know, we're going to post, you know, what we're going to allow and what we're not. And, you know, they got through that part of it really quickly.
Right.
And then they sued.
Yeah.
and won. So, you know, I wouldn't go off too quickly saying how great Comcast is. And even their friendly tone right now, I guarantee, has more to do with what they've got before the FCC than anything.
Yeah.
This merger is a huge deal for them.
Yeah.